Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey everybody, you're listening to The Late Show Pod Show. My name's Becca. I'm an associate producer here at The Late Show, and I'm here with the host of The Late Show, Mr. Stephen Colbert. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Becca. Good to see you again.
Great to see you again.
How often do we do these?
We've been doing these for roughly all of our dark weeks that we go on. So if you're listening to this, there wasn't a show tonight. We're on break. Anyways, today on the Pod Show, I wanted to ask you about the origin of the Colbert questionnaire. How did it start? What made you excited to add this to the arsenal at The Late Show?
Well, like everything on the show, I thought of it.
Of course.
And then I said, that's a good idea. And I said, yeah, well, I mean, it's what I do. And then we just do it because I thought, why would I question me on that decision? I don't know who came up with the Colbert questionnaire. Do you know who came up with the Colbert questionnaire?
I don't.
So this is a general interview. You're not actually cross-examining me. You're not asking me questions. You know
the
answers to.
We're just talking. We're just hanging out. We're at the water cooler at the office. Yeah.
You know, this show is this show is a content vacuum. Like there is no amount of material you can generate for this show that is too much. Mm-hmm. And somebody came up with a game that I could play with guests over and over again, a series of questions through which I could get to know them on a deeper level. And I love that because, A, it's not like I don't care about people's projects, but I don't always have a chance to see the people's projects. So I sometimes feel like I'm lying a little bit, like a sin of omission, you know, not so much as an overt lie. And I also really love talking to people about kind of everyday common experiences that people have. And that's what I like about the Colbert questionnaire is that everybody probably has an opinion on each one of these questions. And some of them change out every so often. Like I think we used to have, what's the most used app on your phone? I think that's gone now. Something
yeah,
like that.
A couple of them switched up.
But that's about it. Over the last 4 years, we've been doing the Colbert questionnaire.
Yeah.
But one of the great values of it, besides the fact that it's fun to do, and the guest always seems to enjoy it, and I think they like comparing their answers to other stars' questions. And not just anybody gets the Colbert questionnaire. You have to be of a certain stature to get the Colbert questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great honor, actually.
It is. It is.
Yes. And I love, you know, I love learning new sandwiches I didn't know. Because the first question is, what is the best sandwich?
It's an essential question to ask anyone. Yeah.
But like only four questions later, you're asking, what happens when we die?
Yeah.
So it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, it's a metaphysical roller coaster.
Yeah. So what are there any answers that stick out to you the most if you're telling people about the Colbert questionnaire? Are there any the most memorable in that they shocked you, they surprised you, or they gave you so much joy? And I'll give you my example of mine, which is when I knew the Colbert questionnaire, when we had a hit on our hands, I was watching from home. Tom Hanks, one of the first to receive the questionnaire.
Yes.
One of the questions that we've kept this entire time is, if there's one song you could listen to for the rest of your life, what would it be? Do you remember what his answer was? Because it's probably my favorite response from the questionnaire to date.
Twist and Shout? Like, what was it? Was it classic?
It was Our Lips Are Sealed. And he sang it.
Oh, that's right.
And it was just, he just starts going off.
Our Lips Are Sealed. Yes.
Yeah. And he does the bass line. Yeah. It's so good.
And I mentioned Melinda Carlisle. He goes, Gene Wyman.
Yeah.
He corrected me.
Yeah. And I love that it came so fast from him. He knew it was coming. This hadn't been online yet, so he didn't prepare.
No. And the people who take the Colbert questionnaire now, I mean, no offense, they're all great, but they know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the Hanks, Meryl Streep days, Nobody knew. My favorite answer was, what is the favorite app on your phone? Meryl Streep was trying to say podcast app, but she held up one hand in a circle and held up her other finger and poked it through the hole to try to be the transmitter symbol that's on the podcast app on Apple. Mm-hmm. And she's doing the, you know, let's do it universal symbol for let's get it on. And she did it. And then I said, I'm sorry, could you see that one more time? And then it occurred to her what she was doing. And to make Meryl Streep laugh and blush at the same time is I should have just handed in my credentials, my badge and my gun right there and gotten out of town.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's the Colbert questionnaire.
Now, the Colbert questionnaire kind of – let's go back a little bit further because I got to finish two things. I have to finish the previous answer mm-hmm. because you just jumped all over me.
Okay.
You just jumped right down my throat because I digressed. Is that it's another like 8 to 10 minutes you can have with Sting or Bono or, you know, Josh Brolin or somebody like that mm-hmm. or Meryl Streep. So that's what I love about it is that it's, you know, we're a content and bottomless hole, you know. The show is so hungry and the beast must be fed. And so it helps feed the beast and in an enjoyable way. Like I mean, we're not just fodder. It's really enjoyable. But the second thing is it comes, I think, from the fact that I asked – and I don't even know where this question came from. It might have just been something that occurred to me while I was talking to Keanu Reeves. I'm not sure if it was on the cards because my favorite moments are not on the cards. As wonderful as our segment producers are, I like Discovery. And I said, what do you think happens when we die? And he said, those that love us miss us. And it's a lovely answer, a very mm-hmm. simple answer. Now, why it blew up enormously – millions and millions of people shared that answer. And I think that's the thing. That's why what do you think happens when we die is on the Colbert questionnaire. It's sort of like – it's like the peak question. That and what song can you listen to and for the rest of your life, you know, if you only had one song for all eternity. And that and describe the rest of your life in 5 words. Those are the most difficult of those questions.
Yeah.
And – so we kind of owe it to Keanu Reeves for taking a moment and giving a thoughtful, simple, heartfelt answer that moved people. And we went, can we build something around that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a beautiful question. And I know that you adamantly say that you will not reveal your answer to the questionnaire.
No.
And I'm not going to ask you to, but I do have one question. When you ask people what number are you thinking of, do you mean in that moment or is it the same number for – has it been the same number for the last 3 years?
Pass.
Oh, wow. Okay, so not even
well, I can't. How can I possibly – if obviously, this podcast is going to be listened to by everyone in the United States.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen the numbers.
Yeah.
And so I can't give any hints. I can't let anybody know if it's changing or it's the same one every time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah, pass. Move. Okay. Next question.
okay, so
by the way, what number am I thinking of?
I think it's 3.
Interesting.
That's why, because you respond interesting just when people say 3.
Well,
here's
the thing.
People study this very closely in the YouTube comments. It's really interesting.
If you see me taking the Colbert questionnaire, it means that I've decided to no longer do the Late Show anymore. That's my hat tip.
That's your exit interview.
That is my tell.
Yeah.
That is where I show my hand.
Okay. So
on the show sometime, you know, 15 years from now. If I start doing, I mean, look at me, as if I'll be alive 15 years from now.
You start talking about your favorite sandwich, we should all get our resumes together.
If I have somebody come on and they ask me some questions, you know exactly. Definitely get your CV up to date.
Uh-oh, he's talking about BLTs, everybody.
Oh, well, BLT's up there.
It's a good
– I'm not going to answer the question. I'll say the BLT is up there. And as long as we're talking about BLTs,
mm-hmm.
is that I'm heavy tea.
Mm.
You know, my assistant, Amy, will tell you,
mm-hmm.
Amy Cole, she will tell you that I have 3 sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
That are by name, that we have named sandwiches in the rotation. If I say I'll have the usual, that means I'll have ham, scrambled egg, and cheese with a little mustard.
Yum.
And then if I say the new normal, you take out the ham.
Ooh, the new normal.
The new normal, we call the ham.
Yeah.
And then if I say I'll take the American classic, that's a BLT. But it's a BLT with an entire tiki cut up into it. I want to look and go,
whoa.
Like, wow, they cut up a whole tomato.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's lettuce and it's bacon, which is great, and mayonnaise. But then there's a – it's like I'm biting – it's almost like you're biting into a tomato like it's an apple when I eat a BLT.
Yum.
Because that's – I don't know. I don't know why, but that's my standard for a BLT. Yum. Don't give me like one kind of gray translucent slice of tea on there.
No, yeah. You
knock
want
me
like
out.
A full heirloom or something in the summertime? Sure. Yum.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, in the summertime, I don't want anything but the tomato.
Ooh, yeah.
I want Pepperidge Farm thin, the very thin. You can go wheat if you want.
Okay.
But whites, you know, the candy breads,
I like
even
the
better.
Thins, yeah.
The thin. Like that. Maybe not even toasted. Mm-hmm. And just a little mayonnaise, salt and pepper. Do not skimp.
Mm-hmm.
And then a slice of tomato as thick as my thumb, just like on top of that. Just like a real, like a beefsteak tomato, but a beefsteak cut of it, like really thick.
Yum.
Cut of tomato on there. And you eat it over sink. It's called a sink sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. Because
so,
there's going to be juices.
It's going to be gushing. Yeah, it's going to be gushing. And listen, if I've got some shrimp paste, and shrimp paste, for those of you who are disgusted by the term shrimp paste, I understand that. I totally get what shrimp paste sounds like. It's called a shrimp pate. Think of it as shrimp pate. But it's really just a shrimp dip. It's shrimp, onion, mayonnaise, a little cayenne or Tabasco, salt and pepper mixed up. Best if you made it yesterday. So if you'd want it today, think about having made it yesterday.
Yeah.
And then you put that on the very thin with the giant piece of tomato on there. Oh, girlfriend.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
You gotta have a good
That's
spread.
Probably last meal for me is a shrimp paste and tomato sandwich.
Mm.
I know.
Yeah.
So if the government officials are listening to this in the future when I'm about to be executed for my crimes against the state.
The request has been filed,
Shrimp paste sandwich. Don't come to me with fried chicken and a pizza or something and go like, they always want this.
Yeah.
Not me, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I didn't know you were a tomato guy. Yum.
Huge tomato man.
Yum.
Grow my own.
Yeah, yum.
Yeah.
I got to grow my own this summer, but we'll get there. Okay, last thing about the...
Do you have a yard?
I have a backyard, which is great. Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
Wow.
I had a lot of wildflowers and herbs last summer, but this summer I want to, you know, sink my teeth into something.
Sure, you got to step up.
Sure. Yeah. But, okay, last thing I'll say about the questionnaire, and this is an exclusive because this questionnaire hasn't aired yet, but my favorite answer for the best sandwich, and I won't reveal who said it because it hasn't aired yet, but we have taped it.
Okay.
Someone recently said that their favorite sandwich was ice cream. An ice cream sandwich. And I think that's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
And a little bit out of the box, but still fits the form.
Technically, it's not in the spirit of the law, but it is in the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And it was allowed.
All right. So we're going to play the Tom Hanks questionnaire and the Meryl Streep questionnaire, which we just discussed here. I hope everyone enjoys it. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. One of the best things about doing the show is getting to talk to all sorts of fascinating people. It's way more fun than yelling interview questions out my window at strangers. But lately, I've found myself craving a deeper connection that you get from most celebrity interviews. Less, tell me about your latest project, and more, tell me how your adult self would be a disappointment to you as a child. By the way, don't get me started. Which is why we here at The Late Show have been carefully crafting a set of questions specifically designed to dig deep and reveal my guest's truest self. It's called the Colbert Questionnaire. We made a graphic and everything. And in only 15 questions, it covers the full spectrum of the human experience, everything from spirituality and the nature of fear to important stuff like sandwiches. So I want to kick it off by administering this scientifically invalid test to a few scientifically proven celebrities. I mean, nobody that big. Your Hankses, your Streeps, your Cloonies. First up, Tom Hanks. Before we go to the questionnaire, I asked Tom to discuss how he really feels about celebrity interviews. Tom, thanks so much for being here yet again. I'm surprised your hair hasn't grown out.
Now, every day it gets a little better.
Now, Tom, I'm going to take a little sidestep right here. I don't know if you... Are you a Dick Cavett fan? Did you watch Dick?
I grew up watching Dick Cavett. You bet.
I like to watch Dick every so often. I've got to know him over the years. And I think he's a great model for interviewing. And I just watched an interview he did with Lee Marvin years ago. And I want to ask you a question that he asked Lee Marvin that I just saw. How do you feel about interviews? Because you're the best at them, Tom. Like, everybody, it's proverbial in late night that everybody just wants to see the word Hanks up on their board. Like, okay, I don't have to do anything tonight. Tom Hanks is going to be here.
But it's not what you do for a living. Everything's up there on the screen. I mean, that's how you've trained yourself for your life. Does it ever bother you that you have to come talk about the thing that you spent all that time making? Just go see the movie. Why do I have to tell anybody?
Yeah. Well, look, I wish I had the intimidation factor that I'm sure Lee Marvin had. Yeah. Don't you think that Dick Cavett was a little bit of afraid that Lee Marvin were just going to, you know, loosen his tie and kick his butt right there on TV?
I think he was smoking Camel Straights the whole time, too. It looked like an unfiltered.
Did he sit in the chair like this with a cigarette on it? You know, I saw him on the Johnny Carson show many, many years ago. And Johnny Carson said, not to mix up our, okay, so I'm on Stephen Colbert. We're talking about Dick Cavett, and I'm pulling up a Johnny Carson story.
Who Cavett wrote that, for, but go ahead.
He did for a while. And also Jerry Lewis, the Jerry Lewis talk show briefly that was from the Hollywood Palace. Anyway, Lee Marvin said, Dick Cavett said, Jimmy Fallon, no. Johnny Carson said to Lee Marvin, well, you're a war hero. You got a medal in World War II. And he said, Johnny, I can't do it. I can't get down. Johnny, I was not a war hero. I got shot in the ass. And as I was sitting there bleeding, and I looked down on the beach and I saw a war hero. I saw a war hero. I saw a beach master that was guiding in landing craft with red flags under enemy fire on the beach at Iwo Jima. That man was a war hero. And that man was Sergeant Bob Keesham. You know who Bob Keesham is?
Captain Kangaroo?
Captain Kangaroo. The guy who we grew up with as Captain Kangaroo was a sergeant in the Marine Corps who guided in landing craft during the invasion of Iwo Jima.
Holy cow.
That would actually, if I was going to be on the Dick Cavett show with him, like if we were all on the same thing. The question about Iwo Jima would be the third thing I would ask him, because I'd actually like to know first who was the voice of Mr. Moose, and really, could Grandfather Clock actually talk like that? Those would be the questions I'd
ask. Ask is, when the train came around past the silo full of Rice Krispies, why didn't it fill it up every time? Because that's what I was waiting for every morning before I went to school.
You know, we needed to have mystery in our lives, my friend. Otherwise, we would have grown up thinking that there was a simple answer to all of life's problems.
You're always fascinating to talk to. I'd love to ask you a million questions, but I can't. So I've distilled everything possibly worth knowing about a person down to 15 simple questions. Tom Hanks, are you ready for the Colbert questionnaire?
Hit it.
Tom Hanks, what is the best sandwich?
Ham on Swiss. No tomato. Lettuce and mustard.
What's one thing that you own that you really should throw out? One of those typewriters? Because you got two. I happen to know you have two right now.
Hell no. You never throw away a typewriter. I have too much stationery. I can just throw in a couple of old notebooks.
What's the scariest animal, Tom?
That would be a type of worm that lives in the sand of beaches of Australia. I'll send you a picture. It'll haunt your dreams.
What happens?
Well, they're these things, and they come up, and they have these heads that if you look at them close, they honestly look like something that the Mandalorian has to flee from on Tatooine.
Apples or oranges?
I'm going to go with oranges.
You know you can't put peanut butter on an orange, right? You can put peanut butter on a slice of apple.
That's not why I eat fruit. I don't view fruit as a peanut butter delivery system.
Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Yes.
Would you mind sharing who that is?
I thought when the very first time I ever went to a baseball game when I was 7 years old, I thought it would be very easy just to go down to the Giants clubhouse of Candlestick Park, explain to everybody around me that I wanted Willie Mays' autograph. And I just crawled out to the edge and stuck my head over the side and waved a piece of paper and a pen that Willie Mays would be, oh, well, of course, kid, during the game. I thought that because I'd seen too many TV shows where And we weren't even allowed even up close. So I didn't get the autograph, but I wanted it.
What do you think happens when we die?
I think we get to race automobiles. I think we get to put on crash helmets and beat A.J. Foyt.
Favorite action movie?
The Dirty Dozen.
That's what Lee Marvin was talking to Cavett about. The Dirty Dozen. I'm not f-ing you. That's literally what Marvin was talking to Cavett about in the interview. And because Cavett said, you were in war. How do you feel about the depiction of war in movies? Some people say the Dirty Dozen. So that gives you a snapshot into the 60s. Some people thought that glorified war in a way that really shouldn't be, you know, sort of advertised on the screen. And he said, I don't think so. You know, he goes, film is really about putting the team together and the training that we did, parachuting into the castle or the palace or whatever it was. And all of that was just, that was the second half that we paid off so the audience could enjoy the first half because they knew that was coming.
It's always good to kill Nazis, Dick. Nothing wrong with killing Nazi generals. I always find that a good source of family entertainment.
Exactly.
I saw the Dirty Dozen on a black and white TV in pan and scan with commercials on it, and you could not have convinced me that it was not the greatest motion picture ever made.
It's a pretty good movie. Pretty good movie. But he goes,
it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's you know, nobody wants to see the real thing. That's what he said.
How about that?
Nobody wants to go to a newsreel. Okay, so a favorite smell. Favorite smell.
Vanilla.
Exercise. Worth it?
Yes.
Flat.
you tell me.
Come on, man.
Let me tighten my sweater. Check out this trunk. Come on. Look at that trunk.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
For a man of your height.
Baby. It's the core.
Flat or sparkling?
Sparkling.
Let's have a party. Most used app on your phone?
I'm going to say the camera because I got rid of a bunch of apps.
I'm going to ask the judge. Does that qualify as an app?
Is that an app?
That is a capability of your phone, not an app.
I'll go to TuneIn Radio because I can listen to any radio station in the world.
Dig it. You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
I'm going to say Our Lips Are Sealed by the Go-Go's. What did I do?
You did nothing. You did nothing, but I'm just imagining it forever. It's a fine. No one. I'm second to none in my love of Belinda Carlisle. Okay?
Jane Wheatland, but that's neither here nor there.
Of course, sure.
Can you hear them?
Yes.
Talk about us.
Sure.
Telling lies. That's no surprise. Can you look at them? Look like through them. They have a secret to them. Nothing can be revealed. Doesn't matter what they say in the jealous games people play.
Our lips are sealed.
That's right. Great, I'll go for it.
Eternity.
Song.
Eternity. Okay. What number am I thinking of?
Six.
No. Describe the rest of your life in five words.
A magnificent cavalcade of color.
Tom Hanks, everybody. Now you know him. Thank you, Tom. Thanks again, Tom. When we come back, I'll ask what Meryl Streep asked a former president to autograph.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into, for breakfast or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We're here with Meryl Streep. Meryl, thanks so much for agreeing to be part of tonight's questionnaire. Now we'll get into the heat of the meat. This is the actual 15 questions on the Colbert questionnaire that help reveal exactly who a person is. All right? It's going to be painless, I promise you. And at any point you say, I don't want to do this, just walk away. Just walk away from the camera, Meryl. Meryl Streep, what is the best sandwich?
Pastrami.
On?
Rye.
That's the correct answer. What's one thing you own that you should really throw out?
Every piece of clothing in there. Especially this shirt, which I've worn on 7 interviews.
What's wrong with the shirt?
Nothing, but people are sick of it. But I have nothing else. And I was thinking of wearing a plaid shirt, and now you're wearing a plaid shirt. So
no,
it's a good thing I didn't.
It's simple. It's silky. It's good for the holidays because it's cranberry.
Exactly.
It fits New England well. Okay. What's the scariest animal?
Ooh. A black widow spider, which you can identify from the little white spiky egg pod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Black widow spider. Okay. And the little the hourglass on its belly,
well,
too.
But the way you can tell the nest, mm-hmm, is if that looks like a coronavirus, but white.
All right.
That's their
all right.
Egg sac.
Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Of course. And the reason being, you can't put peanut butter on an orange.
People have, though,
okay,
in my family.
Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Yes.
Do you mind telling me who?
Richard Nixon.
Did you get it?
And I got it, and it was on a Milky Way wrapper. And I was 12, and my dad took me to San Francisco, and he was in a parade, and I ran alongside the thing. And I reached up my wrapper, and he wrote his name on it.
Do you still have it?
No.
I wrote Richard Nixon when I was 1972. So when I was 8 years old, I had this idea that there should be continental flags. We had state flags, we had city flags, we had national flags. Why not continental flags for unity of nations? So I wrote, Trudeau's dad? Pierre Trudeau. I wrote Pierre Trudeau. I wrote Richard Nixon, and I wrote whoever at the time was the president of Mexico. Got a lovely letter back from Nixon's office saying the president loves your idea, and he sent a signed book of photos of Nixon with children. Do I have it?
I'm in that
no.
book.
Okay, let's see. What do you think happens when we die?
I think we see everyone we love, and we then go back and influence the lives of everyone we've left behind.
I like that. Favorite action movie?
There, you've stumped me.
The correct answer is The River Wild. Okay. Do you have a favorite smell?
Apple pie.
Exercise. Is it worth it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Flat or sparkling?
Do it.
Flat or sparkling? Sparkling, okay.
Sparkling.
Most used app on your phone?
The podcast.
Sure.
Podcast.
One more time with the gesture, please. It's CBS. We have to blur that, I think. What podcast are you listening to? And send me some links. Okay. You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh, Hajira, Joni Mitchell.
Wow. Okay. What number am I thinking of?
3.
Okay. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Very, 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 very long.
Meryl Streep, everybody. Now you know her.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of 2 women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus, starting May 1st.